Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Okay, welcome back, and perfect timing to have back with us today Richard Lyons. He's a world historian, third generation printer, and has been involved in publishing, stage work, television production throughout his professional career. He's also the author of a fascinating book called The DNA of Democracy, Volume 1, and Shadow of Acropolis, Volume 2. There's the picture of both covers of both books there on the screen. And he does have a website, richardclyons.com. And there's a picture of the landing page, richardclyons.com. Hey, brother Richard, how you doing, friend?
I'm doing great, Perry. Great to see you again.
Did you get any sleep last night?
I was happy with the outcome. Apparently, Joe Biden got a lot of sleep. I mean, he didn't even show up.
Well, you know, that's the new way of campaigning.
Yeah, I guess. If he wants to win, he better hide. Yeah.
You don't spend any money that way.
It's true.
All right, so what's your 30,000-foot view last night? I haven't seen a final delegate count, so I don't know what former President Trump walked away with, Nikki Haley, and, of course, did President Biden lose in, like, Puerto Rico or someplace?
Yes, he did, to an unknown candidate that I had never heard of. Trump, for his part, won all but one primary. Vermont went to Nikki Haley. And I'm not sure whether they aren't an open primary state.
They are. So they are.
You know, probably the Democrat vote propelled her to a victory.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that they want Trump to be damaged in any way possible. But Perry, as you and your whole audience knows, that's been going back to 2008. This goes back to when he came down the escalator prior to that. I'm sorry, 2016. And prior to that, and it's it just tells you how fearful they are of Donald Trump. They will do anything to damage him.
Nikki Haley, just a little while ago, officially announced she's out. I don't know. There's rumors she's going to come back as an independent. She's slow to endorse President Trump. I mean, all those emotions are on the table. She's got to be out of money. Is she done politically?
That's a good question. I'm surprised that she didn't endorse Trump. She put it very evocatively. She said Donald Trump has to earn her voters. Well, what is he supposed to do? He's the most conservative candidate that the Republicans have nominated. You know, he was nominated previously, but since Ronald Reagan. The Republican Party is finally getting its conservative footing, and we're supposed to deny votes to conservatives who have won the primaries?
Are we heading towards what could be the biggest political comeback in American history?
His first election was the biggest surprise in political history. And, you know, acclaimed as one of the most unprecedented victories in American history. This would be, if you consider everything that they've thrown at him all these years, for him to come back and just win the nomination is enormous. If he wins the presidency again, it's telling to his character. Who else would have had the fortitude or the fiscal ability to fight against this barrage of attacks from the Liberal Party?
He's certainly heading in that direction. I mean, this will be a bigger comeback than Richard Nixon.
Yeah. But no, there's an interesting chapter in my book on that, Perry, that Nixon won because he gave in to every liberal cause there was. He wanted to unite the country by becoming a liberal. He was a turncoat to the conservatives. Mm. He is part of the rhino class.
Okay, so we got a lot of months ahead of us. In the meantime, President Trump seems to be well on his way. I don't know if he announces a VP choice prior to the 1,200 and some odd delegates that he needs, or he waits till that point. He's been somewhat brilliant in naming a lot of people, because if anything happens, he pulls all those peoples into his camp. Some of them will probably end up in a cabinet position. But who do you think it narrows down to, Richard?
I like Governor Nomi of the Dakotas. Is it South Dakota? North Dakota, I think.
North Dakota, yeah.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She has a conservative spine where she is direct. She is aligned with Trump in believing in our country's original principles and in capitalism. So I think she would be a great choice. I think the problem with her is that her state doesn't bring very many votes. But I think otherwise she's a wonderful choice.
Okay, we'll have to just wait and see how that pans out. The other thing is that tomorrow's going to be the State of the Union address, and there's been a lot of things flying around about this one, I'm sure none of which you're not aware of, but I did not know that the president is bound to submit to Congress a budget prior to the State of the Union address, and that budget keeps getting kicked down the road. Some say, well, they could use that as an excuse to uninvite him. Some say, no, let him speak. He'll be his own trouble. What's your take?
His budgets are so far beyond our capacity to pay. I don't know if the audience is aware, Perry, but we are racking up $1 trillion of debt every 3 months during this presidency. It's $1 trillion of debt every 3 months. So if he has a budget, geez, I'd love to see it. It has to be a real charmer for taxpayers. The problem in our country is you have half the country spending all our money, and the other half of the country is paying for it. We are two countries, those that pay taxes and those who inherit them. So I think that's problematic, too.
What's his message tomorrow night?
I don't know. He had a message last night. I guess he wrote something to say, now it's time to go after Trump's jugular. Well, haven't they been doing that now for years? I mean, what else is left to go after? They're after his wealth. They're after his family. They're after his associates. They're after his colleagues. What else can they do to him? And if that's the message, if he comes out like that, and if that's the message, further divide the country. God help us.
He goes to the border to inspect the border and gives a message on climate change. Hello.
I cannot fathom. And this is another, you know, half the country is grieving over the murder of Lake and Riley, right? This charming, beautiful girl with everything in front of her whole life. And there are pundits on the left who are laughing about our border policy, which allowed that murder. That in itself shows the divide in this country, that they can stoop to laughing about something so grievous. And I don't know if your audience is aware, but for the past 3 years, every single year, 100,000 young people have died. That it's 300,000 young people in 3 years. That is six times the total number of soldiers killed in the Vietnam War, which the left decried every day in the streets. So I don't know where their head is at. I don't know where their heart is at. They seem to have lost every bit of a moral compass.
So is the left facing not only the threat of Trump, but really what's on the line here? Let's throw everything under the bus. Let's throw the Constitution under the bus. Let's throw virtue under the bus. Let's throw morality under the bus. And not only throw it under the bus, let's turn around and drive over it a couple of times because we want to stay in power. Is that it?
It goes that deep, Perry. I think we've discussed this before, and it's exactly what Shadows of the Acropolis chronicles. For 100 years, the Democratic Party has been moving power out of individuals' hands, out of localities, out of states, and concentrated it in Washington, D.C., in the administrative state. It is how socialist countries govern, through administrative states. Our founding is opposite to that. It's representative law. So we are at a point right now, and the left knows it. They have to go for it all to retain power. or Trump is a threat to their administrative state's mode of exercising power. So much power is now in the executive branch alone, in the seat of the presidency, that Trump, with that power, could take apart the power base of the Democrat Party.
Their message is Trump will become a dictator and destroy democracy. You never heard the word republic, which certainly underscores something I say often with our audience, is that the Democrats are excellent at blaming us for what they're doing.
Exactly so. Exactly so. Look at all that they have done to criminalize their political opponent. And someone just yesterday, one of their pundits said, well, isn't it time to consider using the military if Trump wins? These are things that dictatorships do in South America. This is how Hitler's Nazi party came to power. It's how Mussolini came to power. That you control the media, you control education, you control the economy, and then you take out your political opponents, however necessary. And this is where they are now, and it is really dangerous. And God love Trump and the conservatives who stand by him for not being fearful of what's occurring.
All right, let me take a break. Richard Lyons back with us. Check out both of his books, The DNA of Democracy, Volume 1, and The Shadows of Acropolis, Volume 2. There is a picture of the both books' covers. And Richard has a website, richardclyons.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. And again, always an honor to have with us Richard Lyons. He's a historian, well involved in publishing, television production, stage production. He's written a couple of books, and they're fascinating reads, The DNA of Democracy, and that's Volume 1, and The Shadows of Acropolis, that's Volume 2. So there are a pair of books there. You may want to check them out online. And he does have a website, richardclyons.com. And there's a picture of his landing page. A couple quick questions here, Richard. In the middle of everything else that happened last night, Arizona Senator Christine Sinema has now announced she's not going to run for a re-election. She was elected as a Democrat. She ends up switching while she's there in the Senate to an independent. Kind of a sterling record. I mean, she's a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why she's getting out?
I do not. That surprised me very much that she should do so. It seemed, you know, the state of Arizona is a good state for her sort of centrism. She is what Democrats used to be, you know, a few years ago.
So. I'm wondering what caused her to go independent, which probably means the left was going too far left for her. Her military training brought her back to a safe ground called independent, but not quite all the way over to being totally conservative. But this does leave the door open for Carrie Lake, who ran for governor, and you know that whole story. But I can't imagine at the moment now that that President Trump will be in Arizona campaigning for himself and for Carrie Lake.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. She's such a strong advocate, a great spokeswoman for the conservative movement. Yes, I foresee that and am hopeful about Arizona, that they will wake up. You know, it is about the party of the Democrats has gone so far left that one of their own, an RFK Jr., had to be exiled out of the party in order not to create a threat to Joe Biden and his progressive march to socialist madness. So it really tells you where they are when Kristen Sinema goes independent, when RFK Jr.'s exiled within his own party and then leaves it. These are very telling things.
So Michelle announces her office that she's not interested, will not run against Joe Biden. Doesn't say she wouldn't run against President Trump, but it does say she won't run against Joe Biden.
I predicted that she will be immaculately received into the Democratic convention in Chicago. Well, she will vow to save democracy from the evil of Donald Trump. I have hypothesized that she would do that in order for Barack Obama to stay in uninterrupted power with the administrative state, which he's controlled since he became president in 2008.
Can she afford to lose? Can the Obamas afford to have her lose?
I don't know. I've heard people say, you know, her life is so great, she doesn't want to become part of this. I think they're setting the drama up for her to be drafted and to say, no, I don't want it. Okay, yes, I will.
Okay.
All right. I think it's a pretty dramatic setup. They are, you know, they work with Hollywood people who know how to do this. I wrote an article called The Great Last Reveal about her future prospects in the Democratic convention.
So what you are also saying is that President Biden doesn't end up with the nomination.
No, I don't see that.
Okay.
I personally do not see that.
I want to come to your book, your books, plural. I want to ask you a big question.
Sure.
Four words. Democracy, freedom, liberty, and republic. The four words. Those are really the four pillars, so to speak.
They are. Yes.
But we get them confused, and the Democrats keep using the word democracy. What's going on here?
Okay. The four words you used are the essence of the book I wrote, The DNA of Democracy. It's all about how and why. We took examples of all the successful democracies and republics in history and formed them into our own constitution. So we have local rule as represented by direct democracy in the 9th and 10th Amendments, which leave to localities the right to rule themselves, which they have since lost. So that is all about, it's a celebration of how and why we were formed. The Shadows of the Acropolis is a contrary chronicle. It is how and why over the past 100 years, and I call it through 1,000 levies of wealth and power, power has become concentrated in Washington, D.C., and is the tool of the administrative state that the Democrat Party has created, has become their tool. They own it. And it is now the most effective, powerful branch of our government, ruled through one office, the presidency. And that is why Trump is such a threat. He is taking their hold on power by assuming the presidency.
Because what you don't hear, and if I had President Trump's ear, or even candidates in our own state's ear, I would say, start using the words liberty and freedom. That rings a bell. Democracy kind of gets, don't get me wrong, I think we kind of understand it, but I don't think we really do. We are allowing democracy to define freedom and liberty without republic.
Democracy is a genus term of rule by the people. The reason Athens blew up its form of government, why it blew up upon the Athenians, is because you can't give rule to a large mob. The demos becomes a mob, and it shifts every day in its emotion. It's why we have the House of Representatives as it is. They are the closest to the people, but then you have a Senate, and that is where deliberation really occurs. And then you have state power, and then you have local power. And it's a diffusion of power intended to diffuse the power of the mob. And the greatest thing that the founders feared was pure democracy. But as a term, a genius term, of which a republic is a species, constitutional republic, which we enjoy.
Okay. Got an airplane outside my door here. So, how come we don't hear more about republic?
Question. It should be explained. I think I've explained it in the DNA of democracy, And I've explained all that has been overcome in our constitutional republic by the Democrat Party, literally taking powers from localities, individuals, states, families, associations, businesses. It's really quite a story. And I didn't know the story until I researched it, and it kept surprising me that this has been a march to the concentration of power, which our founders most feared. So when they say democracy, what they really mean is they want a demagogue like an Obama who controls the media and tells the mob how to vote and then gives them whatever largesse they can by taking wealth and power from individuals.
I want to come back to one other subject as we head down the track here to November. What's your feeling about election integrity this go around?
I think it's in great peril. Here's another unconstitutional path that the Democrat Party has taken. When they changed the voting rules in seven toss-up states to include ballot harvesting, it is a major, major threat. It is a threat that ballots are counted in inner cities and that Republican representatives cannot be there. So I very much fear there will be ballot harvesting. They are also initiating the use of digital vote counting machines. If they're plugged into a wall, they can be hacked. And there is no paper trail. Only paper balloting allows for an audit that is a means of telling whether an election is fair or not fair.
These
are other things they're doing, and it is another means of stealing power by stealing votes.
Not to mention, I think there is also a great responsibility for clerks to clean up voter rolls.
Yes, absolutely. But it's again to the party's advantage, the Democratic Party's advantage, to keep dead people on the rolls as long as they can. I don't know if your audience has a familiarity with the story in 1960 when the Democratic Party called Richard Daley directly and said, "We need more votes. What can you do?" And this was late in the day in the contest between Kennedy and Nixon. And Daley said, "There's only one question I have. How many votes do you want? And I'll go bag them." And this, the Democratic Party's been doing this ever since. And it's a blatant, unconstitutional mode to assuming and maintaining power.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. I realize this is getting into areas that are just highly emotional, but one poll came out the other day. 73% of Americans think Biden's too old. 64% like to see him go away.
Yeah.
That tells me that Trump should win.
Right.
And Trump is polling in major states. I only got about a minute left. But what happens if he loses? What does that tell you?
If Trump loses?
Yeah.
Well, we have a long time between now and then to see what's going to happen. I believe Biden's going to have a major health issue or a cognitive issue where he's going to be replaced. I think the RNC has to really get active about how to make sure that the votes are tallied and legal.
Well, the RNC is without leadership at the moment.
Right. But someone that Trump favors is going to be occupying the top spot.
And 30 seconds, you have the minority leader of the Senate, McConnell, leaving. What does that tell you?
It tells me it's about time. I think they need a conservative in there.
All right, folks, let me say to this, check out both of his books, The DNA of Democracy, Volume 1, The Shadows of Acropolis, Volume 2. You can go to richardclyons.com, check out his website. I think you're going to find both these books to be very resourceful and kind of fill in the blanks of just who we are if you weren't properly taught that. And thank you, Richard, for your work on that. Thank you for your conviction on that. And let's stay connected. We got an interesting 9 months ahead of us here, friend.
There's a lot going on.
Good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.